Chapter 30, Sermon of Mrs. E.G. White. Nearly 2,000 people assembled at the tabernacle to hear the afternoon sermon and Mrs. E.G. White's earnest exhortations. The first words of the discourse were drawn out in response to the sentiment of the opening hymn, The Old, Old Story, and were followed by an earnest appeal to parents on the proper education of children. Referring to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, she said, "Should not the old, old story of the resurrection of Christ from the dead be to us one of joy? Many professed Christians go about with their heads down, as though Jesus were yet in Joseph's new tomb. He is not there, dear friends. He is risen, and we want to talk of him, of his love and power to save us from our sins. The story of his love should be to us as much a song of joy as it was to the disciples of old, for we have as much reason to joy in their salvation, which his death brought out for us as they. If we take a right view of Jesus, we will not be found talking discouragement and gloom. We may gather and appropriate all the promises of God to ourselves. We go into a beautiful garden fragrant with lilies, roses and pinks, and besides these, thistles and briars. We take our eyes from the roses and think of the briars and complainingly ask, 'What business have these here?' Well, I want to know what business you have to look at or touch them when there are roses, lilies and pinks to feast the eye on. So the Word of God is a garden of beautiful flowers of promise. Let us look on these. Take a flower. As you behold it in the distance, it is beautiful. Draw nearer, and you are delighted with its fragrance. Examine still closer, and you are impressed with the delicacy of its tint and structure, which nothing but a God could give it. So, with the Bible, in reading its prayers, we should leave our minds open to receive new light, and should constantly draw so near to God that we can seek for his mercies. We do not want to dwell on the dark side, but rather, let memory's halls hang with the beautiful pictures of God's mercy and love. We should train our tongues to sing the praises of God. Have we not enough to praise him for? He says, 'What more could I do for my vineyard than that I have done?' Sure enough, has he not given his Son? We are not left to battle with the powers of darkness alone. After Jacob had defrauded his brother of the birthright, he was a wanderer. He was a discouraged man as he contemplated his deprivations with the blessings of home, mother, all. But as he lies with his head resting on his pillow of stone, he sees a ladder stretch from the earth to the highest heaven. He saw that in that ladder the gift of heaven was portrayed to man. He said, 'This is indeed the gate of heaven. It is by this ladder, Jesus Christ only, that we can climb to heaven.' When Adam separated himself from his God, it was Christ who bridged the gulf. Suppose the ladder did not connect humanity with divinity by one inch? All would be lost, for of ourselves we can do nothing. But we unite our humanity with Christ's divinity and are drawn up step by step by the cords of God's love. Christ is our substitute, as one who will fight our battles for us. The human arm of Christ encircles the fallen race, and with his divinity he grasps the throne of the infinite. He says, 'Come unto me, for my yoke is easy.' We are to find the rest in bearing the yoke of Christ. Are we wearing the yoke of Christ, or have we manufactured a yoke of our own? If you are groaning under your burdens, you have not Christ's yoke upon you. For he says, 'My yoke is easy, and my burden is light.' But if you wear a yoke of self-righteousness, you will find it very heavy. Mothers, are you wearing the yoke of Christ? Home religion is what we want. The fear of God should be taught to our children, and pity and love should circulate through the rooms at our home. Christ touches humanity, that he may help us how to be partakers of the divine nature. This is what the parents want in teaching their children to be obedient, respectful, courteous, for this is religion. If you teach them in this way, it will train them to be respectful and obedient to their Heavenly Father. You can teach them from their babyhood to love Christ. Consider the responsibility you bear in training your children. You must mold and fashion them through the aid of the grace of God, that they may grow up honorable men and women. Instead of embroidering their dresses, show them that the best adornment is a heart of simplicity and love, that they may grow up with the Spirit of Christ. They should be under control of their parents, and when they get older, they will keep their temper under control. When I see the child that flings itself on the floor in anger, my heart aches within me. If they were taken in hand by parents, we should not hear the results of so many outbursts of temper in men. We should not hear of so many church trials. The home should be made cheerful. The best room should not be shut away from the little ones. Make them realize that home is in the best, the cheeriest room in the house. Give them the benefit of sun and air, which is the best doctor. It takes much of the grace of God to raise children. Let them know the mother love in order to comprehend the love of God. On the Sabbath, do not tie them to the bedpost for fear they will not keep the day properly, and then sing, "Lord, in thy Sabbath I delight." Take them to walk among the trees and in the fields that show God's creative power, and thus lift them up through nature to nature's God. When 11 years old, I was in despair, my education in regard to the love of God having been neglected. But when I got a view of His love, I never forgot it. I cannot look upon the lofty tree, the spear of grass, or the flower of the field without thinking of the love of God. We can take our children's hearts and turn them in praise to God as the sunflower turns its petals to the sun. Satan has darkened the minds of man and has given them wrong views of God. It is Satan who has given the trouble and trials and wretchedness to the human family. He casts his hellish shadow athwart our pathway, but we are not to look at him. Take your eyes away and gaze on the lovely form of Christ, and contemplate his power and love, and all will be right. Christ said, "Consider the lilies," etc. Carry your minds back to the glory of Solomon, sitting on his throne, flanked with golden lions, and surrounded by gardens of flowers, and all that could make a man happy. Was he happy? No. We hear him moan out, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." It was not a lack of beauty that made unhappy the greatest king that has ever held a scepter. He was an idolater. His career shows him a disappointed man, and that riches, power, and glory, and fame are not sufficient to make a man happy. No, he lacked the peace of God which brings contentment. So teach your children that the beauty of the lily should decorate their hearts, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Teach them that it is not the beauty of race, dress, wealth, etc., but the beauty of character that elevates them in the scale of moral worth with God. We have solemn responsibilities in the education of our children, that they may have Christian politeness. Then let us bring Christ into our own hearts, so that our children may have an example of Christ in the home. Let us show tenderness and love, and act with God in building up this home religion. Children do not seem to realize or have any sense of the respect that is due the parent any more than the respect due to God. But if you teach them to obey you, they will respect you, and will respect and obey Jesus. When the Sabbath comes to you, draw them about you and tell them of the undying love of Jesus. Point them to the necessity of entering upon the Sabbath without crowding its holy hours. the necessity of having the houses and faces clean and tidy for the Sabbath. For if the corners of your house are untidy, there will be some dirty corners in the heart. If your children are thus trained, they will not be found in saloons and around card tables when they are older. God grant that you may seek to be a partaker of the divine nature. Satan has divorced you from Christ, and you think he is far off. The gates of heaven are open, and the glory of Christ will shine on you if you trust him. Let us get the simplicity of godliness. Let us sympathize with our children, as Christ sympathizes with us. In this way, you will win their love. And then you can place the hand of your child with yours in the hand of Jesus and give yourselves to him. Let us be Bible Christians and have the salvation which is by faith in the arm of infinite love. We want our households to experience true conversion to Jesus Christ. Then we will talk of the love of God instead of gossiping about our neighbors. We will be educating ourselves to talk faith, to lift up Jesus who says, "They that honor me, I will honor."